Okay, welcome. Tonight is February 2nd, and I believe that we're doing the 10th of this series of the 1500s in Europe, and tonight we're going to be talking about the Maral Miprag. So, just one, there's the Megillas Yochsin, who is a little bit of a historical sefer. What does he write about the Maral Miprag? Who is so deaf as not to heard of the great, extraordinary going of the Maral Miprag? It is beyond human ken to fully express the entirety of his splendid greatness, myriads of wonders and thousands of deliverances. So I had that question, like, I don't know what his thousands of deliverances that he's referring to. You know, like, all the things that I was looking up, like, what was all of the deliverances, so we're going to talk about the golem. Outside of the golem, was there anything else besides? Who so blind has not seen the light? Okay, the Megillas Yochsin. So, there's a famous story about the Maral in his birth. You know, he already was destined to go ahead and save the Jewish people. How so? His birth was on the Pesach Seder night. The first night of Pesach. And what was happening is his family was at the Seder and everything was fine, and his mother, you know, was expecting. She was in her ninth month. And unbeknownst to the entire Jewish congregation or the Jewish community, there was a non-Jew, a Christian, who had found or killed or had a Christian child who he had wrapped in a bag or a sack, and he was slowly coming into the Jewish ghetto in order to place the dead Christian child somewhere. And then the next day he would like tell the priest the kid's missing, and I think I saw it by this and this Jew, and that would cause a riot, that's it, a blood libel. So as he was bringing it into the Jewish quarter, the Maral's mother went into labor. She's at the table, she says, "Oh, it's happening, help." So everybody at the Pesach Seder ran out to get the midwife. I guess maybe the midwife was not even in the Jewish quarter, it was probably in the non-Jewish quarter. So the scene was, is this guy is with a sack and he starts coming, and all of a sudden he sees about 10 people running towards him. Now they were running to get a midwife, but he thinks they're running after him. So he turned around with the sack and he started running. And now he's coming towards the beginning, the entrance of the Jewish ghetto. And the guard in the Jewish ghetto, what does he see? He sees a guy with a sack with 10 people chasing him, you know? So that's the scene that he sees. So what does he do? He grabs the guy with the sack, sits him down, and he says, "All right, what's in the sack?" And he sees a dead Christian child, and this guy confesses to the entire plot, and they get the midwife, and the Maral is born. Now that's the legend of how the Maral was born. Isn't that a great story?
Amazing.
Amazing. But it's most likely not true.
Most likely.
Why? I was waiting for you to ask. So the question is where was the Maral born? So this story has it that he was, I think it says this happened in Worms, I think, which is in France. Does it say exactly here? Okay, this is the entire story, but this story takes place somewhere in either France or Germany, where there were blood libels and things. This was a common occurrence. How that's another good question, because when was the Maral born? So how old was he? But so the only thing is though, huh? He was a baby when he was born, right? But how old was he? Okay, you got it. Sorry. tough crowd. Tough crowd. Yeah. So when was the Merabah? Is another thing we'll get to. That's also part of what we have to get. We'll get to. But we have a letter. I don't have it here, but when I get to it, there's a letter of his older brother Chaim, who claimed that he was born in Posen. Now Posen is Poland, and Poland did not have any blood libels yet. The year that Chaim and the Maral was born, so blood libels wasn't an in thing in Poland yet. So that being the case, you know, it's you know, so if he was born in Poland, so you may say, okay, so it didn't happen in Worms or it didn't happen in Germany, but it happened in Posen. The only thing is at that time Poland had not yet had any recorded blood libels. So to say that this story was happened in Posen, that would be very, very hard to understand. So most likely the story is not true. So when was he born? So one has it that he was 97 when he died, and so it's very possible that they got the 97 mixed up with the 79. Because if he was that old, I think he would be like older than his older brother. So that's very hard to do if you have an older brother that's younger than you. So we'll have to see. So even though they have him like as 97, it's possible when they said, I don't know how to say it in Yiddish, Nansich Zibin or Zibin Nansich. Yeah, so maybe it's possible that they got those numbers mixed up. But okay, we'll see. But in any case, okay. So everybody knows that when you speak about the Maral, you speak about the Golem, right? So, like, what's our earliest mentions of a Golem? What's the earliest that we have in a Golem? And it happens, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Samech
Hei. How do you translate that?
Hmm? Frankenstein? I don't know. Golem? Huh?
There's no translation of it?
I don't think so. I don't know. We'll see. But maybe. Well, we'll see. I'll show you the Gemara. Maybe you'll see a word in the Gemara. The oldest word of the Gemara, early date, is in Sanhedrin. First of all, it says that Adam was initially created as, I guess, a golem. Yeah, no. Golem is like somebody who doesn't speak. He's like I don't know if it became like a slang, the guy's a golem, you know, like because of the golem. The golem is somebody that like doesn't speak, he's not smart. I think that's what golem literally means. But it could also mean maybe because if it uses the term golem, maybe that became a name that people just called afterwards. But Adam was originally a golem. He was in a shapeless form, and Hashem blew into him reach. You know, he blew into him life. So that's how Hashem formed him from dirt. So it almost sounds like that's how Adam was made. Adam was made from dirt, and originally, and that's it. Hashem created him from there. Okay, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings Rava creating a man, and he sent them to Rav Zeira. So here's the Gemara. I'm a Rava. Iboy tzadike, if the righteous want, baru alma, they could create a person. They could create a world. Shinamaki avon aseichem hayu mavdilim. Because of your sins, you're separated from me. In other words, Rav is learning that only because people sin, that means they can't do things like Hashem. Hashem created a world. If you were a tzaddik without sinning, you'd be able to create a world too. He brings a Gemara, Rav Bara Gavra. There's a Gemara, Samachay Amid Beis. Rav Bara Gavra, Rav created a man. Shadri Lakami to Rav Zera, and he sent him to Rav Zera. Havikam Ishtoi Baday. So he was with Rav Zeira. Velo Havikam Ahadolei. And he's talking to him and he's not responding. So Amralei, so Rav Zeira said to the golem, or this Min Chavrei At, you're from a man, you're created from a person, hadar li'afrecha, and return to your dirt. So I guess maybe he put him back into a dirt, you know. Where do we get this from? This, I guess, from the Sefer Yetzirah. You know, that's how they claim that it was, that the golem was made. Sefer Yetzirah was a book that it has a whole bunch of like names of Hashem, and it's does it come from Adam Arishan? I'm not sure where it comes from, but there are passages from the Sefer Yetzirah were studied as a means to create and animate a golem. So basically the idea is you make the form of a person and you take Hashem's name and you put it in the mouth that you made or the forehead. And that's it. Now you got yourself a you have yourself a golem.
It's interesting. You put it in the mouth, but he couldn't speak.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I guess. But that's I guess how you're supposed to make a golem. And like if you read the books about the golem, so they have how he made it. It's supposedly it was from his son-in-law Rabbi Katz and the Maral and somebody else, and each one went around the golem, and they made a form, and they made a round, they said certain things, Hashem's names, and whatever, and that's how they made it. Now, there is a recording of the golem of Chelm. The oldest description is the golem of Chelm, which is Rabbi Eliyahu of Chelm, 1550 to 1583, okay, and he writes, reported that there was a golem by Rabbi Eliyahu, that one man named Rabbi Eliyahu made a creature out of matter. He made a golem, and tzura, and it performed hard work for him for a long period. The name of Emes was hanging around his neck, and when he finally removed it for a certain reason, the name from his neck, it turned to dust. This is a similar count. Okay, that's, you know, whatever. I think also they say that the other version is from the word MS, they took off the Aleph. And what he left with is mace. All right, this is Rav Yaakov Emden. I mean, this is, I don't know where this, where I got this report from, but this is actually a quote from Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden, he died in 1776. We're going to, I don't know, I don't think we'll get to him this year. But Rav Yaakov Emden and Rav Yonatan and Eibeshitz, they had a very, very big machlokas. It's about Kameyas, and Rav Yaakov Emden accused Rav Yonatan and Eibeshitz of being a follower of Rav Shabtai Tzvi, which we also have to get to. I don't know if we'll get to Rav Shabtai Tzvi as well this year. We'll see. But anyway, Rav Yaakov Emden writes a story, as an aside, I'll mention what I heard from my father's holy mouth regarding the golem created by his ancestor, the Goyen Rav Eliyahu Baal Shem. When the Goyen saw that the golem was growing larger and larger, he feared that the golem would destroy the universe. He then removed the holy name that was embedded in his forehead, causing him to disintegrate and turn to dust. Nonetheless, while he was engaged in extracting the holy name, the golem injured him, scarring him on the face. According to the Polish Kabbalist, the legend was known to several people. Okay, fine. All right, that's one golem that we have recorded. Okay, it's also interesting that it wasn't like recorded for 100 years after it happened. And it was was in the 1600s of something that happened in the 1500s. But now the most famous one is ours, is the Maral Miprag. Maral reported created a golem out of clay, banks of the Vitava River, the Ulada River, brought it to life. You know, you read the books, it's great. You know how they did it, spooky at night. It's okay. Some say that they wanted, we're going to talk about this, but he was invited by Rudolf II, the emperor, to come and speak with him. And he did. He had a meeting, an hour and a half meeting with the emperor. Some want to say that's what they were talking about. Nobody knows what the meeting was about. Rav Lowy deactivated the golem on Friday evenings by removing Hashem's name, so as to let it rest on Shabbos. One Friday evening, Rabbi Lowy forgot to remove the shame, and he was afraid the golem would be Machal Shabbos. The rabbi managed to pull the shame from his mouth, I guess it's towards the end, and immobilized him in front of the synagogue, whereupon the golem fell in pieces. Okay, the golem's body was stored in the attic of the new synagogue, who would be restored to life if needed. According to the legend, the body of Rav Lowy's golem still lies in the synagogue. However, and the attic was renovated in 1883. I forgot, there was somebody else that came in the 1700s, went to the mikveh, went up there, came back down, didn't say what happened up there, but he said nobody should go up. That was, I forgot to write that in. I forgot who it was. Somebody who we know. Again, did that person really go in there and up? I don't know. But that's recorded that somebody went up in the 1700s, didn't say what he saw up there. And okay, anyway, in 1883 they renovated, didn't see any signs of it. Some say, well, what they did is it was taken from the Geniza and buried in the graveyard in Parag's, could somebody read this for me, Zhizkov district. Yeah. And now there's a television tower there. A recent legend tells of a Nazi agent going to the synagogue attic during World War II trying to stab the golem but died instead. Did you ever hear such a thing? I did. I heard about it. The Nazis went up and they got killed, and I don't know, they slept them out dead, and the attic is now open to the general public. Okay.
Shame you didn't take them down.
Yeah, well, you know. The originals of the stories, now where do we know of the Morals Miprag? Where do we know? Where do we have recorded that the Moral Miprag had a golem? And we have it from this Rabbi Yudel Rosenberg, who originally was in Tarlow, and he moved to Canada, right? So he published a book called Niflos HaMoral in 1909, and he wrote it that the Moral son-in-law of Katz was the one, the eyewitness, and it's all coming from him. Rosenberg claimed that the book was based on a manuscript he found in the main library in Metz. They're not sure that such a library existed, but wonders of morale is generally recognized as a hoax. Gershon Sholem observed contains not ancient but modern fiction. Rosenberg's claims was further another book, Chaim Bloch's The Golem, or Legend of the Golem of Prague. Okay, so the first time we have mentioned is Rev Yudel Rosenberg in 1909. Now, the Tzemach David was a contemporary of the Moral. I believe if he wasn't a contemporary, he was the next generation. But I believe he was lived around the same time as the Moral. He was a Talmud of the Moral. And he writes in the Tzemach David, he writes about the audience between the Moral and Rudolf II, and he writes how, you know, he was received very friendly by the emperor, and what they spoke about nobody knows, and then even in Moral's eulogy, whether or on his epitaph on the gravestone, not a word is said about the golem, which is very, you know, strange. If in fact it was a golem, then why would the Tzemach David, who wrote biographies, he wrote about the Marshal last week, and he wrote about the Ramah and Rav Shachna and the Maral, and why would he not write anything about the Golem? No Hebrew work published in the 16th, 17th, 18th century is anything about it. The Maral himself didn't refer to the Golem in his writings. He didn't have a progress. And Rev Yedidya Tel Wheel, who lived in Prague, and I guess earlier, and he talks about a golem, but he says there was one created by Rabbi Avigdor Kara of Prague in 1439, who died in 1439, and he also quotes the one before Leo of Chelm. He doesn't mention the Moral. So he's from Prague, and he's not mentioning the Moral. Also, Mayor Paris' biography of the Moral, 1718, also doesn't mention a golem. Yes, Jerry?
So, what is the gain, if he never existed, what would be the gain for people to spread this story?
You know, did you ever read Marcus Lehmann books? Marcus Lehmann? Well, I grew up. I read the Marcus Lehmann books, and I'm trying to answer. Maybe I don't know. But like, you know, when I grew up, there was a book about Bustanai, and there was one about the Rav Yosel Men of Rosheim, which we spoke about, And he has some really, interesting, he has one of Rav Shach, he has, the adopted princess, that's Rav Shach, daughter. He has these great stories that are amazing. Now, they're historical fictions. He got them from historical, but it's like a fiction. Maybe he meant this, Rabbi Rosenberg, maybe he really found something, or maybe it's just he came up with a great story, he had a great idea for a story, and he said, okay, who can I pin it on? Right? Oh, let's make it out of the morale. I mean, I don't know.
Is it a possibility that they were protecting the people from not going into it? Because I think that Kabbalistically it was meant for people, and they didn't want to scare people. Just like the government, the United States government, wanted to protect people from UFOs. I think it's more like there was a protection.
Okay, right.
There was scare the Jewish population.
Yeah, very, very possible. Very possible, right? No, it's like just what when you do that, when I'm looking around at different people, and it is interesting that there's not a hit. They do talk about golems, but they don't talk about the morale's golem. And the first mention of the morale's golem is like in 1909. All right, maybe you're right. Maybe it was like all hand to mouth to mouth and. It was all like in general. But by the way, before I go to the golem story, I'm going to show you the shul. I'm going to show you the attic. I'm not going to go. I can't show you inside the attic.
I had heard information that anybody that had gone to the attic, it was a very scary experience.
Maybe.
So perhaps they did move it because of that scary experience.
Oh.
But some people even died there because...
Maybe. It's hard to like reconstruct. But if you're going in just what's written, like Rav Yaakov Emden is talking about this Rabbi Eliyahu of Chelm made some sort of a golem. So why wouldn't they have spoken about, which is earlier?
Morals was much more powerful.
Right. At least the way we know of the story.
It was like a top secret thing.
Maybe it was a whole top secret to begin with, and Rabbi Elio of Chelm, he just needed it to build a house for himself. Maybe, okay. There are great stories about golems. Like there's one story here, like what he would do is around Pesach time, he would have the golem dressed like a non-Jewish porter. And, their belt and their... And he'd be, patrolling the streets at night. And one night, there was a person who was... the story happened that there was a sheikhet, a non-Jewish sheikhet, a butcher. And he owed this Rabbi Mordechai Meisel a lot of money. And Rabbi Mordechai Meisel was pressing him, where's the money? So this Christian butcher decided he's gonna get him. And what he did is basically he usually had to take his meat through the Jewish quarter. His Schlachthaus was outside the city, and it had to go through the Jewish quarter till he got to his home. So he figured one day he's going to take a pig. He emptied out the pig, got himself hold of a dead child. I don't know, did he kill it? I don't know, but there's a dead child. And he put the dead child in the pig, and he started to go, and in the Jewish quarter. Meanwhile, Yussel of the golem, saw him and tackled him and brought him to the guard, and the guard, like, that's it, they caught him, and that was it. They sort of was near Ramot Chodiyos. The golem was roaming the sea, suddenly appeared and sits and examined the contents of the wagon, so that the child quickly bound the slaughter with his rope, carried him to the town watch right in the Rath house, and dumped him in the courtyard and ran away. And that's how he saved another. He saved the day. If you there's a golem book. Of course, you know the golem book with the blue one. There's one for kids. Now there's a kid one. It's like I forgot to bring it. I should have brought it to you. They're great stories. It's a little spooky for kids. But there's one story they have there, where there was a a Jewish wine salesman, and he would sell wine to everybody. Everybody wanted, he had the best wine in everywhere. So Jews bought from him, non-Jews bought from him. And the infamous villain, Thaddeus, if I'm saying his name right, was the big the priest guy. He was the priest, and he was always looking to get the Jews, and he was thwarted a few times by the Maral, you know. It's like, you know, the two of them, you know, Batman and the Joker, you know, or, you know, however, the good, you know, and that's how it's painted always. He's trying to get him on the next time. So he basically, this girl, this wine salesman had a girl, like a teenage girl, very smart, and she was the one that took care of the wine. And basically he said, I'm going to get her. And basically what he did is he told his servant, the worker there, go get me a case of wine. And then he said, and buy it on credit. And, okay, so he had bought wine there often, and she took the credit. And then she sent the worker there a second, like the next day or 2 days later, he says, do the same thing. And he did the same thing. So he took a second case and took the on credit. Okay? Then, like, you know, 2 weeks later on his usual order, he bought and he would pay for it, bought and pay for it. And then after some time, so the girl sent the message to the priest, you got to pay for the wine. He says, oh, yeah, for sure, no problem. And he sent the money for one case. So she said, no, there were two cases. He says, oh, there was one. So she, you know, like the worker came back and forth. He's like, so she says, no, let me show the priest. So she went with the worker to Thaddeus's, you know, church, and that's it. Thaddeus was able to talk to her, and they started talking philosophy or whatever. And then he says, it's an interesting conversation. And then he started sending her letters. This is the way the story goes. And eventually, after some time, he convinced her to come to the, to run away and come to the palace. And that was it. She was like sort of stuck there. And they're trying to figure out where she was, and they didn't know at first. And then they realized that she was taken, and she was in the palace. And they went to the Maral. The Maral says, look, there's not that much I can do. But I'll tell you what to do is, you know, he said, get, he says, whatever, I'm working on it. That's, you know. In the meantime, Thaddeus, when she was there, she started having regrets and she wanted to go back, but they wouldn't let her out of the room and she was sort of locked up there. And then Thaddeus got this noble son to marry her, you know, to visit her. And this person, this noble son, first of all, she was a nice-looking lady. And she was smart, and he was having conversations with her, and he says, oh my gosh, I'd love to marry this girl, you know. And they may have even set the date for the wedding. And then the Maral calls for the parents, and he says, okay, I'm going to be able to get the girl out for you, but this is what you got to do. You got to get a carriage to take her out of the country. You have to find a relative outside of the country where your girl is going to be. As soon as she get it to you, you know. And he takes the golem, gives him a kameya to be invisible, climbs up the outside, breaks in, gets the girl, you know, gets the girl back out to the, and basically gets the girl to the parents. Meanwhile, the worker is afraid that Thaddeus is going to blame him. So he digs up some other dead person, puts him in the room, and sets fire to the whole room. So therefore, he'll think that it was a fire and she died in the fire. So he won't be blamed. She gets back to her parents. Her parents say, you know, they give her a hug, and they say, that's it, you got to get out of town, otherwise there's going to be big problems. And she gets into that, and she goes to Amsterdam, you know, that's where she goes to an uncle, whatever. Meanwhile, the Polish noble son was devastated by all this, and he says, wow, where am I going to ever find a girl like that? I'll never find a Polish girl like that. I'm only going to find a Jewish girl. So he says to his parents, he had in mind to convert, but he said, I'm going to Italy. I want to, you know, increase my education there. He went to Italy instead of going to university. He went to a Rav there who converted, after years, converted him. And then the Rav said, you know what, if you want to get married, go to Amsterdam. And that's the end of it, you know. Meanwhile, he's, you know, has a name like Avrami, you know, and he has a beard, and she also took on a different name. And then they're meeting as a shidduch date, and he takes a look at her ring. She says, "Where'd you get that ring?" And she's like embarrassed about the ring. She says, "You better take the ring off. This is the ring that the noble gave her." He says, and basically he says, "You got to tell me the story." He says, "Don't worry about it. I won't break off the shidduch. Just tell me the story." And she says, "This is the noble son." And then the guy says, "I'm the noble son." And that's one of the stories in the book. Take it for what it's worth. So you got a golem, you got a bad guy, a good guy, you got a kameya becoming invisible. All right, that's these stories that they're saying. All right, but just getting back now to just a little bit more. You know, one other thing is Vilna Gaon. Now this is also very interesting. The Vilna Gaon, I forgot where there is. Reb Chaim Volozhin, his number one student, reported an introduction in Sifra de Tzenusa. He once went to his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, about 10 different verses, 10 different versions of a certain passage in the Sefer Yetzirah. And he asked the Gaon to determine which is the right version in the Sefer Yetzirah. The Gaon said this one. Okay, the amazed student, the Reb Chaim Volozhin, commented to his teacher that with such clarity he should be easily be able to make a golem. So the Gaon said to Reb Chaim, he says, yeah, he once began to create a golem when he was a child, but he was under the age of 13. But during the process, he received sign from heaven, telling him to stop because he was too young. So that's a story that we have, that the Gra, he was under 30, he wasn't bar mitzvah yet, and he was making a golem, and he got something that from heaven that told him not to do it. All right, that's another golem story. The Golem of Chelm, we spoke about how it was it started becoming bigger and bigger, and he took out the name, and it hurt him. Then just like the stories, Frankenstein, Sorcerer's Apprentice, the Terminator, RUR, the robots, these are all like different takeoffs of the golem. Pokemon golem is number 151. If anybody's into Pokemon, although Pokemon's the Golet and Golurk are probably more similar to the traditional golem.
Can you turn back to the last point?
Sure, this that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I want to read the last paragraph.
Oh, okay, it's similar in Frankenstein, Sorcerer's Apprentice, other stories of popular culture, Terminator. This is an old play in RUM. This is where the word robot started to come. I think in a 1921 play, Carol Capix. It was a play. Actually, it was written in Prague. Even though while Capix denied that he got it from the golem, but there are many similarities in the stories. Okay, so Pokemon. We did. This is the shul where the golem is supposed to be. Okay, this is the. The shul. This is, I guess at that time it was the new synagogue, and if you go around the back of the shul, it's very high up. You need a ladder just to get to these rungs, and the only way to get to the attic is from the outside. That's how you. That in here is supposed to be where the golem is. That's the only way in. Yeah.
There's no access.
No access on the inside.
That's how the Nazi action went.
Huh?
Is that how the Nazi went up?
I guess so. If the Nazi story is true, yeah, that's how he must have gone up there. They put a ladder to where this is, and then you just climbed up into this all the way up there. Okay, so, yeah. It really does look spooky. I mean, if you had to have a shul that would have a golem, it would look like this. You know? I mean, come on, like, you know, and the, you know, really, you know.
Right,
and it's
like
in the back
on
of this, right?
Outside
Exactly. Right. So
obviously,
it adds
not
to the mystique.
To go.
Right. It's not like you'll get a few teenagers in the middle of the night. Maybe they'll do it anyway. They're just like, you know, break into the door. You have to serious, you know. Okay. This is so in Prague they do have statues. This is a statue of what the golem would look like. And okay. Just a little bit now about the Maral himself. So that's this story about, that's the golem. I got three or four, I've been reading all these golem stories. They're all, you know, similar idea. Just another one where he was performing a wedding between two people. They were best friends. One had only girls and one had only boys, except the one that had girls, his last son was a boy, all right? And what they decided to do is that the last son of the man with all the sons was going to marry the one of the girls. It's, you know, whatever, shidduch, two good friends, you know, his youngest son was going to marry, you know, one of his daughters, you know. So the Maral was the Masada Kedushin. And in the middle, he's about to make the bracha, and a wind comes and blows the wine down. No problem. Fills up the cup again. The wind comes again, blows it down. So he says to the Gaylim, he says, Yasala, go get me more wine. So Yasala goes inside, and he comes back, and he starts, like, waving, like, you know, to the Maral. And he goes back inside, and he comes out with a piece of paper that says something like, a brother's not allowed to marry a sister. So the Maral says, all right, we're taking a little break here. So he comes back in, and then he... what comes out afterwards is that the Maral finds out... Now, what happened is that the last two sons... There was a midwife for both of these people. One always had these fine, healthy boys, and one had these, like, really weak little girls. So this midwife decided that no matter what, and they're both giving birth at the same time, no matter what, she's going to switch the babies. And she, because, so what happened is he called out, so the one giving birth to the boy, the one that gave birth to the girl, was born first. So the one that always had girls was giving birth first, and she delivered. And she said, "It's a boy." I guess she didn't even know. She didn't even. It was a boy. So he said, "I forgot how did it work?" She said it was a boy, and then Itaka was a boy. But she said she's switching it anyway. And then when the other one gave birth, you know, it was a boy, and then she switched the babies. So basically what happened is you know, this one was they growing up each other's boys. And that youngest boy was going to marry the girl from his friend, which is he was really a sister. And the Golem, you know, figured this out from whatever, and then they ordered the neshama to come down, and this midwife came down and testified that that's what she did behind the mechitza, and she said she wrote this in her journal, and they told the golem go get her journal, and they read it in the journal that she switched the babies, because you know she thought that this was she was gonna have a girl. So that's what it. What happened is the other gave birth first, and she said it's a girl, even though it was a boy. Right, it was a boy. So when it went to boy, and then the last one had a boy also. So she came back to the first one and said, "Oh, it's not a girl; it's a boy." So they both had boys, but that was the plan. That's what she wrote, and she wrote how sorry she was in Karata, and the Maral saved the day. The boys didn't marry the girl, but what ended up happening is. That boy married he married the other boy, the boy who was originally, like they thought was the brother, married his sister, who, but he was, so, whatever. Okay, a marriage took place, but with a different, with the other, with the one that was switched, not the first one. All right, another Maral story. All right, anyway, the Maral, Tzemach David, in 1573, he came to Prague, and he established a base medrash, which he called the Klaus. He left Prague, I think, twice and came back. And he left Prague once to go to Posen, where he would be like, we'll see why he left Prague. Something happened, but he left Prague to go to Posen. He became the Rashiva there and the head of the rabbinical quarter of Poland. That's what the Tzemach David writes. The Marshal, okay. There's a Marshal brings down that there was a libel against the brothers of Bezalel. Maral, his father was Bezalel. And there was a libel against the Bezalel's brothers. Basically, the story goes as follows. It was his father, Posen, and he had four sons. He had Bezalel and three other sons. He sent his three of his sons, he sent away to yeshiva. But his son, Bezalel, he kept at home to help him. So three of his sons came back as big Talmid Chachamim, and Bezalel, fine a yid, but he wasn't the big Talmud Chacham. So the father gave Bezalel, his son, who stayed with him, a bracha that you should have great Talmid Chachamim. So Bezalel had four sons, one of which was the Maral. Okay, so it was a libel against the brothers of Bezalel, and the Marshal deals with that. So the Marshal in his sefer says, look, I know from my father, and I know that my father knew the family, and my father had told me which families are pusel and which are kusher, and this is a family that he felt he knows were kusher, and he dealt with the family, and he married into the family, and if there was anything wrong with that family, in Yichus, if it was an issue, my father would never have been had that relationship with them and would have told me or would have done something about it. Okay, so that's what the Marshal writes about the family of the Maral. Okay, next. Okay, this is just the. Okay, this is where, remember I told you how the story of the Maral being born was most likely not true, because the Reb Chaim, who is the brother of the Maral, writes like this: since Poland was the land of my birth, and Chaim was an older brother, right? So most likely the Maral was also born in Poland, and again at that time when he was born, blood libels was not a common thing in Poland. It didn't make its way to Poland until much later. And therefore, the whole story doesn't. It's very, very unlikely that there was that this incident would have happened in Poland. It is something that would have happened in Germany, but it was most likely would not have happened in Poland. That's also, and also the year from here. We see from 1575, it just works out that he says he's been 20 years. And he wrote this. He's been 20 years in since he left the yeshiva. He was with the Rama in yeshiva. It's been 26 years since I'm outside the yeshiva, which means, and he wrote this in 1575, which means he was about 20 in, he was about 1550 when he left yeshiva, which means he'd be about 1530, the older brother. So it means that the Maral would have been born later, which is very, and the Maral died 1609, so it's more likely that he was probably around 79, 80, rather than 97, because this is how we know these two pieces of information, from something that the older brother wrote. Nesiva Solom, this is a student of the Maral, he just writes nice words about the Maral. Okay. Once again, in the Tzemach David, who was a student of the Maral, he writes that he had many disciples, and he had his base medrash was called the Klaus. He was there for 11 years, and then he came back for a period of 4 years. Now, he had another student called the Yom Tov Lipman Heller. Is anybody familiar with Yom Tov Lipman? Anybody familiar with the Tosas Yom Tov? So the Tosas Yom Tov is in the standard Mishnayos that we have in the Yochanan Boaz, it's called. So it's mainly about 10 or 15 Mefarshim. But the three main ones is it is the Mishnah, and it looks like a Gemara, right? And the Mishnah is in the middle. On the inside, which would be like the Gemara, is the Rav. I should have made just a copy of it. On the outside, which would be like Tosfos in the Gemara, is the Tosas Yom Tov. And on the bottom, we have the Yochanan Boaz, the Tiferes Yisrael wrote somebody else who wrote a Sefer. Now, the Tosas Yom Tov, he wrote a Perish on, like, the Rav. So he would, like, you know, like what Tosas did to Rashi, Tosas Yom Tov did to the Rav of the Mishnayos. But he says, he writes over here, that he got the idea from the Maral. The Maral was very, very into studying Mishnayos. And it was a Seder, it was a big thing he instituted, like a Seder of learning Mishnayos. But you wouldn't just learn it plain, you'd learn it with like the Mefarshim, just getting the Machlokasim clear and learning it with the Rav and the Tosas Yom Tov, because of this wrote a Pirish. I was told that 40% of Shas is in the Mishnayos, which means the major Machlokasim are there, the major concepts, ideas, they're all in Mishnayos. Okay, and he, again, this is what he wrote. He wrote that he had such an effect, he had even more than Rebbe himself, because it was him. They seriously started committing to learning. Greater is the impact of the statement of the Maral than the statement of Rabbeinu, who's the one who made the Mishnayos itself. This form of study Mishnah was established because of the Maral, and it was studied with commentary. And okay, and it was became an institution. Even today, there's a Mishnayos Yomis, by the way, is just finishing. There's a Mishnayos Yomis. You learn two Mishnayos a day, 5.5 years, you finish all Mishnayos. There's 4,100 Mishnayos. There's a plug, I guess, for Mishnayos Yomis. Two a day. Now they're just finishing Baba Metzia. So I think if not today, tomorrow, within this week, is Baba Basra. So. And it's like so that was another influence of the Maral. Another influence. This is he wrote his Sfarim. So one of his he wrote in his preface to Gvuras Hashem, he said he wants to write six books. One is the Gvuras Hashem, which is going to deal with history and philosophy. The second one is Sefer Agibo, which is it speaks about the Haggadah. I think he wrote that also. The third is the Tiferes Yisrael, which talks about the giving of the Torah. Fourth is about Tisha B'Av. I don't know if he wrote this one. And I don't know if he wrote the fifth one. The Sukkos, which is called Sefer Hahod. And the sixth one, which is Rosh Hashanah. Okay, but he did put out a lot of books, and most of his Sfarim came towards the end of his life. Very philosophical. He also wrote a commentary on Rashi, like it's called the Gur Aryeh. So if it's in the there's a sefer. It's called he wrote the Gur Aryeh, but it's together. Mizrahi is the name of a sefer, and he took Mizrahi wrote a perush on Rashi. So he includes the Sifrei Chachamim and the Gur Aryeh. So these are all different mefarshim on Rashi. What was their idea? Rashi is giving you Pashat Pshat in the Chumash. So, like you see sometimes Rashi, you'll quote a Medrash. And he'll say, why did Rashi bring this Pshat, this Medrash? Or Rashi sometimes says two different Pshatim. What forced Rashi to say the first Pshat or the second Pshat? So, very often they'll say, well, it's because the Chumash used this word as opposed to that word. Or the Chumash, why does it have this first or second? So that's another thing that the Maral wrote. Let's see if I have time for this. This is a Shabbos Shuvah. Maybe we should stop here. Because from here on in, there's a lot to do with Prague. and the community of Prague and what he had to deal with. And it wasn't like, you know, he was like the accepted Gadol HaDor and everybody just listened to him. There was a lot of machlokas that went on, and he had to deal with a lot of the issues that went on. And maybe next time we'll pick up with the Shabbos. He gave a Shabbos Shuvah Drasha in 5344, which is 1584, I think it was. The rabbi had left, or the rabbi passed away, chief rabbi, and this was almost like a prabha. So the Rosh Shiva in the town, so they said, why don't you give the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha? And I guess based on that drasha, they would decide if he would become the next rabbi. Needless to say, that's when he moved away for 4 years after this drasha. So I think maybe next time, just looking at the time, maybe next time we'll go into what was the drasha, what was his, what, and he let him have it. He let the community have it. And it was you get tremendous insights on what the issues of his day was. Okay, so maybe any questions or anything? So, all right, we spoke about the golem, you know, and mostly it was the golem this week.
You don't know something, but I'm smart too.
Yeah, could be. I'm not sure what. It could be, yeah, I mean, like, if this, everything we have from the Maral, I'm pretty sure, starts with Rabbi Yudel Rosenberg. He was a prominent rabbi in Canada.
Montreal.
Right. So, I guess, you know, he was a chashev rav. You know, he had this about the Maral. All right. Is it real? So did it really happen? So that's
possible.
It's possible. Although there people, you know, have these questions. All right, Kol Tov.